God, I do belong to him.
Yes, sir.
And I'm glad he belongs to me. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible tells us in the little book of the John, chapter 4, I believe it is, it tells us we love him because he first loved us.
Right. Right.
Now, there was a time when I didn't know him. But that's not the case tonight. I know him and know him personally. I'm glad tonight that I know him on a first name basis.
Yes, sir.
Do you know him?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Do you know him on a first name? I've talked to him today.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, how do you talk to somebody I can't see? This thing we're doing is by faith.
Yes, sir.
The Bible said the just shall live by faith.
Yes, sir.
We walk by faith. It's not by sight, it's by faith. And I trusted him years ago as a little child, as a young lad, by faith. I've lived all these course of years down the way by faith, and I'm going to finish up in that manner, and one day my faith shall end in sight, Brother Haynes, and I shall see him face to face and behold him in all of his glory.
Right.
In that time, and at that time, I'll have a perfect body.
Amen.
A glorified body.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And I'll be able to praise him, Sister Patricia, in perfect praise. And you talking about getting on.
Yeah.
It's going to get on. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, I believe you're kind of, you've got a loose strip. Call it what you want to. I've been called a lot worse by a lot better folks than you. Thank God I'm saved. I'm of the old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, believing Baptist way, and I'm going to stay that way. Amen. Not going to change.
That's right.
I had the privilege several years ago, Brother Haynes, to go to Korea. And I met, a lot of you may remember, the Moonies. Remember the Moonies that used to sell roses on the corner all around the country? Sun Young Moon. I had the privilege to meet Sun Young Moon. As a matter of fact, I sat in a banquet hall with him on the platform and had the opportunity to give my testimony of saving grace to about 6,000, close to 7,000 people.
Amen.
You know what I told him? I told him what Christ did for me. And I said, let me tell you something. I said, it's all right to know Mr. Moon, but it's even greater to know the Son of God.
Amen.
And I went over a Bible-believing Christian, and I came back there.
Amen.
I'm not going. Listen, I'm not worried about the Mormons or the Jehovah Witness or whatever converting me to anything.
That's right.
I'm perfectly satisfied with what I have.
Right. Yes.
And what I have is not religion.
Right.
I have a work of salvation.
Sir.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
I know the Lord tonight personally, and I enjoy being with the family of God. This is my family. I have an earthly family as far as this flesh is concerned, but I have a spiritual family, and I'm in the midst of those tonight that are a member of that holy and spiritual family.
Amen.
I love Brother David.
Yes, sir.
Stood up there and clapped his hand. Now, I was in a meeting not too long ago, and I made this statement. A lot of churches you go in now, they applaud. I'm not into that. Applauding is an action of the world. They applaud. Now, there's nothing wrong with the saint of God. Brother Dale wasn't applauding. He was rejoicing.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
And we lift up our hands. The Bible said lifting up holy hands unto the Lord.
That's right.
And we clap our hands in praise to him. Folks are saying, and I've been in churches when I preach, they'd clap. I don't particularly care for that. I don't like it.
Amen.
Because I'm not worthy of any recognition.
Amen.
And tonight, it's not important that you know me. What's important is you know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
My name's nothing. Amen. I'm just another soldier of the cross, like you. And what's important tonight is Brother John said, the Lord, in the scriptures, he talked about how the Lord must increase and we must decrease.
Right.
Now, I'm a little uneasy about these boys, that all they're interested in is fame and notoriety and glamour and you name it, showmanship. And that's what a lot of ours is, the one-man show in a three-ring circus. Amen. And you can call it whatever you want to. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. A lot of good rest last night. We traveled most of the weekend over in Kentucky on Sunday. Came in on yesterday and didn't get much rest the night before. And I explained to some even just to the why and the like. But we got some good rest last night. I tell you, I was tired when I laid down last night. But it's good to get tired. Amen?
Amen.
You get tired. I never was one to just lay in the bed and wear a hole in the sheets. Amen? If I can't sleep, I get up. And so I got a lot of good rest last night. Enjoyed preaching last night. And I have tried to thank the Lord a number of times today for the good presence of the Lord last evening, even though my flesh was weary. I was tired and maybe not. You know, your feelings, your flesh, your top, it affects your worship.
Yeah, that's right.
If you don't believe that, look at about 10 o'clock tonight when I'm still preaching. How many's going to sleep? Huh? I know some of you got a little nervous at that, whatever. But anyway, that's the way it is. But it's good to be here tonight, and I appreciate every one of you being here. I've come to meet some new friends, and it looks like Angela went out and shook the bushes. She got her three and brought them with her. Amen. We appreciate her bringing TJ and the lady and this gentleman here. We appreciate it. And then the preacher back here and his wife and different ones. Spent a good deal of the afternoon with Brother John and Sister Sharon. Always a blessing to be in the Battis home.
Yeah,
I love to go back. They're sweet people.
Yeah.
And Sister Sharon can cook too.
I tell you,
she can cook. Amen. But we had a good time there this afternoon and spent time fellowshipping and talking. And I enjoyed that. I really, honestly, I don't like to eat right before I come to church. And then another thing, and I know that's not possible for some of you, but if we eat up during the day, it gives us a little time to spend more time with you and be in your homes. And I get attached to people. I really do. I get attached to them. And I love people. I don't know if my wife will tell you, I can talk to anybody. I talk to the wall, amen? And so I enjoy being around people and interacting with them and having fellowship and so on and so forth. Well, I want you to turn your Bibles tonight to the book of 2 Corinthians. I want to go to chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. I said last night, and I want to say again tonight, because I'm honored as well as thankful to be able to say this. I preach at places when a lot of folks don't know what a Bible is. They think they do. But I never have to worry about coming to Black Creek Baptist Church and wondering what kind of book, some off-brand or whatever that people have in their hands, they have a Bible, a King James Bible.
That's right.
I preached tonight and last night, and I preached for 40-something years out of a King James Bible.
Amen.
And I have no intentions of making any changes tonight.
Right. Amen.
Amen. I believe I have the truth. It's kind of like my wife. When I got her 48 years ago, the looking stopped.
Amen.
That's
right.
And so I became perfectly satisfied with what God gave me.
Amen. Glory to God.
And I'm grateful for that.
Yep.
I am. And I don't see any sense of settling for second best when you've already got the best.
Amen.
That's the way I feel about it. Somebody said, well, you've got to say that because she's sitting here. Listen, you ought to be around my home sometimes and let me tell you, when something isn't like I think it ought to be, I just tell her. Amen. She'll tell you I'm a very vocal person. And if you're around me very long, you'll find out that I'm that way. I may tell you one of your ears is dirty one of these days. Amen. But I'll tell you, amen. I don't beat around the bush with you. Amen. But it's good to be here tonight. In the book of 2 Corinthians tonight, I want to begin reading in chapter 6. And I want to begin reading in verse 11. And I'm going to ask you tonight, it might be the last opportunity you have for a while to stand. So let's stand if you would. And I want to begin reading in verse 11 and read down through the remainder of this chapter. And I want to read one verse in chapter 7. By the way, Ethan, I meant to mention, good to see you. Amen. Here tonight. Amen. And the like. All right. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto you, my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Now you notice in what we're reading tonight that you're looking in the opposite ends of the scale. One just as far that way as you can look, and the other just as far as you can look the other way. There's a definite contrast and difference between darkness and light.
That's right.
You would agree with that, would you?
Yes, sir.
You Yankees are that intelligent, aren't you? All right. And he said, what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? We're hearing a lot of talk about that in this day and hour. Somebody said, what are you talking about? Well, let me help you with something. Anybody today in this world, are you listening? Now listen, any person in this world today and this hour that is not a Muslim is considered an infidel.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm just telling you the facts. I've been in the Middle East numbers of times. I've been to Syria, I've been to Israel, I've been to Lebanon, I've been to Egypt, I've been over there. And I'm telling you, you believe what you want to and think what you like, but any person that is not a Muslim is considered an infidel. And I could preach and tell you some things about that tonight, but we're going to preach on something else. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? This is a Baptist church. We don't have any idols in here.
That's right.
We don't have any statues. I've been in Mexico many, many times. I could take you to a place outside of Monterrey where the individuals, just such as you, have went and kissed the statue, the foot of it, to the toe, the large toe and the toe next to that marble statue, preacher, is wore off back under the border of the gown that statue's made out on. I've seen them get on their hands and knees. One lady I've seen 7 months expecting on her hands and knees, remember her, and crawl like an animal for penance. We don't, hey listen, we have a living God.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
He ain't no statue.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Oh no, Brother Peter said we have a lively hope.
Yes,
yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And so the Bible tells us here, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? It tells us not only that, but it says here, notice, for ye are the temple of the living God. For ye are the temple of the living God. I mentioned a little about this last night. Every person in here that is saved by the grace of God is a place where God resides.
Yes.
That's what it is. And the scripture tells us, and God hath said, I will dwell in them. Isn't that wonderful? The Bible said in the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 1, it says that now are we the sons of God. Now. Not out yonder then, but now.
That's right. That's right.
We're now the sons of God. Somebody said, you think yourself to be something? I most certainly do. I happen to be a child of the King.
Yes, sir.
Amen. 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 I'm nothing to this world.
That's right.
And I'm nothing to the carryings on of this foolishness as far as the world's concerned. But in glory, my name's been written down.
Yeah.
I'm in the pride of my composure. I've got to cry last night and weeping and slinging tears and carrying on and kissing men, and I'm going to try to be a little better tonight. Amen. I'm just telling you how it is.
Yes, sir.
But glory to God tonight, we're the sons of God.
Yes,
all right, let me see if I can get this read. And the scripture said, and God had said, I will dwell in them,
yes,
and walk with them, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. I want to read one more verse. Two more verses. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now this isn't what some man said. This is what God said.
Amen.
Notice the next verse, and I believe it has to do with what we've already read.
Yes.
Having therefore these promises.
Yes.
Has God ever made you any promises? Oh, he's made me many promises. Can God break his promise?
Never.
If he does, he's not God.
That's right.
Amen. And I want you to notice, he said, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Amen.
I want to preach for just a little while tonight. You can be seated. Thank you. I want to preach on the subject tonight of perfecting holiness. Now, somebody said, good gracious, I thought you said you were a Baptist preacher. Yeah, I know. When you mention holiness in a Baptist church, a lot of them go into the nervous jerks. You'd think they'd taken a little bit of over-medicated themselves. But I believe tonight that the Bible teaches that we are to be a holy people. As a matter of fact, can I tell you this tonight? God is interested in our holiness.
Yes.
If you go to the little book of Leviticus, Brother John, you'll find that God spends a lot of time there dealing with things having to do in wanting us to be holy.
Yes, sir.
Now, listen, just because you've got a gown on or a dress and it's black and you call yourself Papa and look like Mama does not make you holy.
That's right.
You understand that?
Yes, sir.
If you don't, I'll be more specific. Raise your hand, please. I'm telling you tonight, holiness has nothing to do with religion.
That's right.
Holiness has to do with salvation.
Yes.
And I say to you tonight, as I take the text on preaching on perfecting holiness, I want you to understand that, my friend, we're in a state tonight of continual perfecting of holiness. I have not arrived. I've got problems just like you do. Did you know there's days when I do things wrong just like you do things wrong? There's times when I am not at all pleased with myself, and there's times when I'm brought to the attention, Brother Dale, that I am not living at the level of where I should be living when it comes to the holiness of God. Now, it isn't this flesh that points it out. I can tell you that. This fella here, he likes himself. Oh, I'm telling you, he's hooked on himself. The bottom line is, there's one that lives inside of me and will bring to my attention from time to time and say, boy, you're just not right. Ever had your daddy tell you that? My daddy passed away last year. My daddy was very good at times of bringing it to my attention. He didn't hesitate. He didn't have a problem at all saying to me, boy, what you're doing is not right, and I'm not pleased with it.
Come on.
And if I continued on, Brother John, to do what I wanted to do, he had another means of communication. And he got a hold of me, and he got my attention, and once again, he made it perfectly clear. And for the next several weeks, when I sat down, I realized my daddy would have been happy with me. That's something we don't do anymore in this day and hour. Used to, when I was a boy coming up, they'd set your backside on fire. Amen.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't understand that, down where I come from in the South, JP, that's called an old-fashioned whooping. Amen. We got a whooping. Amen. Now we get these timeouts.
Yeah.
I never did have any of those. And sometimes, you know, a timeout sitting in a chair for a half hour. Well, I didn't know what that was. And we got a scolding, like some people call it. No, we just got an old-fashioned beating and a whooping, amen. And these kids nowadays simply don't know what it is to be corrected, amen. I'm going to tell you it's important to correct your children because it'll have a real effect on them when they get right with God, knowing the correction hand of God, amen. Amen. I believe that. I raised three children. I knew what it was. I had a boy and two girls. I knew what it was to take my leather strap off and use it on. And all three of them are grown now. They didn't die. They're grown and they have their own homes and they have their own families. And they've been married each for a number of years.
Amen.
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 And I teach them and tell them, as much as I love them little old grandchildren, I believe from time to time they need a good old-fashioned whooping. Amen.
Amen.
And so it is tonight. I'm trying to explain to you that God is interested in our holiness.
Amen.
He said, as a matter of fact, in the scriptures, that he wanted us to be holy because he's what?
That's right. Holy.
He's holy.
Yes, sir.
Do you believe tonight God is holy?
Amen.
Now, there's a certain denomination down where we come from in the South called the Church of God and what have you, and they call them holy rollers. Amen. I've been called a lot worse than that. But I will tell you, I'm not ashamed of being found holy. Amen. And we're to walk circumspectly in this old world, call it what you like, that the world knows that we are not of this world. We have something in us that makes us totally different. Amen. So tonight, I am not preaching. I am not trying to tell you that you can live a sinless life or one that's absolutely perfect, because you have this Adamic nature. You're going to come short. You're going to fail from time to time of the glory of God. And when you come short, that's why the Bible teaches us that we're to go to the Lord every day and seek the face of God and ask forgiveness for the transgressions of this day.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
My home that I live in. If my wife swept it under the rug every day, after a while it'd be a lump to have to walk across. Huh? That's right. Now that's the way some of the housekeepers today do. I'm not arguing that. But my wife don't do that. We have what is called a dustpan. What are you laughing for, Jody? We have what is called a dustpan, and we have what is called a vacuum cleaner. My wife, listen, there's two things my wife will need in heaven. Is a vacuum cleaner and a washing machine. She can't do without them two things right now. Every day it's a wash, and every day I'm telling you, listen, if she don't have a load of clothes to wash in heaven, I don't know if you will know what to do about it. She washes clothes and runs the vacuum cleaner. You let a washing machine go down at our vacuum cleaner, and buddy, it won't be a Proverbs 31 woman no more. It'll be that hollering and screaming, I want this fixed. Amen. Say amen right there, Brother Roger. You're old enough to know. I know you are. Amen. And so that's where it's at. But I'm saying tonight we come short of the glory of God. We're many times we fail far short. Sometimes I'm telling you how the Holy Spirit will talk to me, and I'm plumb ashamed of myself. I'm plumb ashamed of how I've operated and I've did and conducted my life. And one of the best ways of knowing you're saved is if the Holy Spirit will sit you down and talk to you like a father would and tell you, Brother Haynes, what you're doing in
right. That's right, sir.
Amen. Why, after all, the Bible said here that we would be his sons and daughters. What good father would allow his child to go on and do what he wants to do? No, he'll sit him down and say, now, son, see, if what you're doing is not right.
That's right.
Amen. That's an excellent way. If you can just do what you want to do, live like you want to live, never have any consequence, never be disturbed or bothered, it's a good sign you've never been saved in the grace of God.
Amen.
Oh yes, Paul said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever seen a prisoner walking out of jail when he wanted to?
Come on.
Oh no. When you're a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're under the authority of that man wearing the badge. You're under the authority of that man that's in control. And I want you to know tonight, we're under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in our hearts, and we can't just live in your way we want to. Somebody said, you think because you don't do this or you do that, you're a Pharisee. No, it's not that. It's because I'm a Christian. Because the Bible said in the scriptures that the love of Christ constraineth us.
That's right.
You know why I don't walk out on my wife? I love her. You know why when I go home she's got supper ready? I got up this morning and she fixed a big old pan full of bacon, fried me in a half cup. You know why she did all that? because she loves me.
Amen.
Now, if I had went down the street for a night and found over here Bill's house, I'd be a little concerned. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I don't want one of them I've got to run down. I don't want one. I don't want to say I want one right there. Amen. Absolutely. And I'm telling you, I need to understand that Christ is the head of us, the head of the church, and he's the head of us, and we're to be submissive to him. Amen.
Yeah.
And so I'm saying tonight that we must not take the ideal or the thinking that we can live a life of absolute total being perfect, because that's not the case. Let me say this. The Bible teaches us here that we're to be continually progressing in an upward manner. Do you realize that we in this nation have raised the bar on about everything that you can think of?
Yeah.
I don't have my cell phone that's over in the motorhome tonight. Can you hear me now? And they've gotten these things now, brother, where you have less calls dropped. It's more it's plain. And the bar has been raised. Let me ask you this. With everything in life that the bar has been raised on, do you think we're going to go back to them old 8 party lines like we had when I was a boy? You pick up that phone and you dial old student. I didn't know you was on there, lady, and you hang it up. I remember my daddy said, trying to use an 8-party telephone line. Don't she ever do any work at the house? She just talk on that phone, the neighbor all the time. Every time you pick up, she is on that. Listen, you don't really believe we're going to go back to that, do you? Why, folks would throw them down in the middle of 305 out there and run over with a truck. They wouldn't have it. No. Listen, we all got our individual, personal lives, self. I'm paying one folks that rank at me because I've got one that just rings. Well, that's all I'm capable of operating, so I can stay with it, amen. I mean, they got them now, brother. They'll blow your nose and zip your britches, nevertheless. That thing in over here a while ago, and I said to Brother Dale, I said, I've had this for a long time, Brother Dale, 20 voice recorders to Sony. I said, but I'm not sure I know how to operate. He said, I can give you all the lessons in the world. I said, man, that's a man I want to talk to right there. Amen. It's nothing like running into somebody that knows everything. Amen. I'm telling you, this technology, we raised the bar. We got up, and we're not going back. You just rest assured of it. Well, let me ask you a question. What's wrong with raising the bar in your life?
That's right.
What's wrong with raising that upper standard and putting it up there and saying with every day that you live, Lord, I want to do better today than I did yesterday.
Amen.
Lord, I want to walk closer to you than I walked yesterday. I want you to come right here, buddy. I want you just to hold on to me, and everywhere I go, I want you to know. I want to feel the precious presence of you. Now, you see something here? That boy ain't got a hold of me. Go work, sit down, son. Would you please? And so I'm telling you, he's holding on to it. Would you go work, sit down, please? And he's got control of us. He's got a hold of us,
amen.
You know why he can't go over there and sit down? Because I got a hold of him, amen.
Amen.
Absolutely. I'm not holding up. He's holding on to me.
Amen. That's good.
Oh, somebody said, well, I'm holding on to him. I imagine you're building a bridge too, aren't you?
Yeah.
I've heard them old songs, you don't build it. You ain't going to build no bridge. I'm going to tell you, the bridge is already built. It's in place. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He made it possible that every sinner like we could be saved by the grace of God. Go to heaven. Rest assured tonight we're saved by God's grace. Now let me say this. I notice in the scriptures as I look at this, once you raise the bar, as I said, you can never go back. You know something? I'm today what I was yesterday, I'll never be. I'm tomorrow, today's a different situation. Somebody said, preacher, are you you concerned, and does it not bother you that you're going to fall from grace? If I could fall from grace, then nothing to the Bible.
Right.
You can't get saved. I was born into the Shankles family one time. I've always been a Shankles, and when they bury me out there, I'll be a Shankles.
That's right.
Amen. Let me give you a verse of scripture in Philippians 1 and 6. Being confident. How many of you folks is confident that you're in church tonight? Would you raise your hand?
Yeah.
You're pretty satisfied you're in church. You know this is not a saloon, don't you? You're pretty satisfied you're not on the dance floor. You're pretty satisfied you're not sitting down there in the bleachers or watching the bus. Is it 11 men? Somebody told me it's 11. Chase a ball that when it hits the ground, they don't know which way it's going to go. You're not. Listen, we're in the house of God tonight, and we're confident. And the Bible said in Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, that he's talking about Christ, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with that verse, as I quoted it tonight, let me ask you this. Who's running the show? Who's doing the performing, me or him? He's doing the performing. And if he's doing the performing, you can rest assured he's in charge and he's going to perform that work in you till the day that night when he calls you home. I'm not worried about getting out and getting drunk tonight. I'm not worried about walking off and leaving my wife. I'm not worried about getting out here and getting caught up in gambling with those New York State lottery tickets. What I'm worried about is that I walk a close walk, a holy walk, which is pleasing unto the Lord, that I can say, I am satisfied with him.
Amen.
I'm satisfied with him, but I want him to be satisfied with me.
Amen.
Is he satisfied with you? Can the Lord say tonight, that's one of my children? I have three children. It wouldn't be any problem for me to say, that's my boy, that's my girl. I'm satisfied with my children. Did you know that while they're 46 years old and 42 years old and 38 years old, that I still get on their case? Amen. And their companions, if they didn't want me getting on their case, they shouldn't have married my children. That's simple. I told that from Syracuse, New York the other day. He's from Syracuse, New York. He slipped off down there to Oklahoma and went to school at Vineyard's church there. And then he come over to Knoxville and got my daughter. I didn't like it then, I don't like it now. Amen. Amen. But he did something that I didn't like. And I just politely got him off to the side and talked to him, and I said, I don't like it. Ain't nothing to do about it. He's married my daughter. If he walks off, I'll shoot him in the back. Hey, I'm telling you, I want you to know something. You ought to speak up and be happy for the cause of Christ. And rest assured, my friend, we are the children of God. And when we don't do what we ought to do, the Lord, if you're saved by the grace of God, will call your hand on
it. That's right.
That's your
problem. I've done things when I shouldn't have done it. And I hurt people. And you know I had to go back and apologize for you. How about that? You ever had to apologize?
Yep.
Oh, my son. I'm telling you, cold crows hard to digest.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Yes, sir. Apologize. What's wrong with saying from time to time you've been wrong?
Come on.
Amen.
That's right.
I told some people that one time worked for me, and they called my hand. I said, even the 5-star general needs a good kick in the seat of the britches with a number 12 boot. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, don't get the idea you've arrived. Don't get the idea you got wings on your back. Don't think it is that you are just holier than thou. No, every one of us tonight are in a position and place that we can use some improvement. Amen. Now, I may be further down the way than what you are. Let's just take it for instance here. What's the little one's name, huh? Katie, that's right. I forgot what your name was, Katie. But that's Katie. It's Katie. Diaper trained yet?
No, I wish.
No, you wish. Okay. Well, you ought to thought about that before you had her, amen. But anyway, Katie's not potty trained. Did you know if she soiled her britches? I can tolerate that tonight. I can handle it. It may be a little tough on the smell, but I can handle it. Amen. But if Dale here soils his britches, that's another story. Yeah. I mean, listen, he sits at the heat and he's running up now. Look, you are potty trained.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do it. Amen. And he's happy about that. some of us are, but the bottom line is, every day we're striving for perfection. We're wanting to do better. We're wanting to bring more pleasing to the Lord than we've ever done. And if you don't have that attitude, you claim you're saved, you're a long way from God, you're called in a giver, and you need a dual-action spiritual woman. And mark it down another way with our hands. Those out of I rebuke and cast them. And those folks that can live like the world lives and never be chastened of God do not belong to the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I don't think my daddy didn't whoop the neighbor kids, but he didn't have any problem picking up a leather strap and wearing me out.
Yes, sir.
Amen. When Mr. Cole across the way hollered, I just ignored it. When Mr. Smith up the neighbor up of two or three houses hollered, I didn't pay a bit of attention. But when Charles Reuben Shankles hollered, I listened and heard well. Amen. I was the oldest of four boys. I was always the first one to get the whooping. And Daddy was so tired by the time he got done beat the others, didn't get much. But I will tell you, when my daddy called out in that voice of his, I said, "Boys, that's Daddy called. We better respond to that." Amen. God, and they're saved, and they do what they want to, go where they want to, live like they want to, never go to the house of God, never care about holy things, never care about being with the saints of God. That crowd needs to get saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
I don't care who you are. Amen.
That's right.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, when you get saved, you're a new creature in Christ.
Yes.
Old things pass away.
Amen.
And all things
Amen.
Become new. Corinthians 5:17.
Right.
And you're a new creature because you've been into the household and family of God. Amen.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Let me tell you something else about going to church.
Amen.
Every preacher that is a preacher, now some of them are preachers, some of them are playboys. But every preacher that is a preacher has at some time preached on separation. I don't care who he is, if he's a preacher. The Bible says one of the best ways of knowing whether or not your pastor that stands in that pulpit is a God-called man, does he preach the whole counsel of God?
Yes, sir.
Now, if your preacher only wants to preach what makes you smile, you don't have a preacher.
Amen. That's right, brother. Got that right.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, we're in a pitiful day and hour when people, they don't want to go to church to worship. They want to go to a pep rally.
Yeah.
They want to be made to feel good about themselves. Suspenders and say, "Hey, ain't I something?" I'll tell you what you are. You're just on my damn flesh, saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood of Christ if you're saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know something? They got in their britches just like we got in ours this morning, Chris, one leg at a time.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody said, "I don't like that." You'll get over it. Just burp and go on, amen. I'm telling you tonight, a preacher that's worthy of his hire is a preacher that will tell you, you've got to live separated. And somebody said, "I have a hard time." You always have a hard time when you don't have Christ living in you.
Amen.
One of the hardest things to do is come out of this world and yes. be different and not have the power of God living in you to make the difference.
That's right.
Isn't that what the Bible said when it said, "Greater is he that is in you
yeah.
than you that..." So I said, I have them taste for that. It's funny thing. To me, I've talked to people who got saved and got to the
yeah.
mm-hmm. And he didn't wait 3 weeks to do it. He done it that day. This crowd that talks about and believes it, you know, it's kind of a progressive salvation. I don't believe that at all. When I got saved, I got born into the family of God.
Amen.
Saved. And I didn't say saved, I said saved. And but I'm saved tonight, and I'm telling you, there's one in charge of my life that don't put up with a whole lot of foolishness, especially when you're in this pulpit preaching to folks. Amen.
Amen.
And what we need in the pulpits across this land and countryside tonight is not a bunch of playboys and circus clowns that all they know to do is go to the pulpit and tell joke after joke after joke, happy people down in there. You know something? If you have some fella in, he's a dynamic person. You know people respond to people. They'll respond to personality more than the real truth.
Yeah.
Right.
That's good. Yeah.
Oh, they like their personalities. I laughed tonight. They said tonight, my stomach was sore. Laughing and it's not what it's about. Now, there's a time and it's all right to laugh, but we don't come to the pulpit to be a clown or a jokester. We come to the pulpit to preach the gospel. I'm here to preach tonight. And isn't it wonderful that you're here to hear?
Amen.
Amen. So if I'm here to preach the gospel and you're here to hear, we got a wonderful situation. Amen.
Yeah,
I go to Slide Snatch, you're sitting right over yonder, Angela, and you listen, you pay attention to what I preach. You know, you've done better than a lot of Baptists I know. Some of them are texting while I'm preaching. They're cutting their finger nails. They're looking down, shit for toenails. They have been the red, the purple, that old black, hellish, ungodly polish, amen. That kind of like sherry wire. Amen. Look down, see if it's chipped. What I'm trying to preach. You're talking about making a fellow upset. Son, I just about lose it. I about get unholy when that happens. I'm telling you tonight, we have a crowd that goes to church for everything under the sun except to be with the family of God and worship in spirit and in truth. And the Bible says that Christ told her in John chapter 4, God is a spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit. Sad day when folks go to church for everything except for worship.
That's right.
My house, he talked about the church, the house of God, should be a place of worship, prayer and worship. Churches nowadays are nothing more than a poor man's social club. That's all it is.
Right.
I'm telling you, we've got them down there around home that you can go to, and they've got them spas and they got them built-in gymnasiums, and you can go in and get all your flab flapped from one place to another. Just a flab flapping out there.
Amen.
Now, I'm not telling you I don't need to dress some things, but I'm not going to church to get my flab flapped. I'm telling you, it's kind of what's going on in there. Go in there, dress like the world, look like the world, smell like the world, and mingle and mix with everybody in this one. I'm telling you, that ain't right with God.
Right.
No, no. We come to the house of God to hear the preaching of the word. You know what folks say nowadays? Oh, it's preaching's too hard. Oh, it's preaching's too hard. Wonder what they said about John the Baptist when they looked over here. They said, it's not right if you have your brother Philip's wife. I would say, it up when they tossed him one day. They took his head off right the top of his shoulders.
Right.
And carried him there in a charger. Am I preaching? You read in the book?
Yeah.
That's pretty hard preaching. I haven't preached it that hard yet because I still got the head on my shoulder. But I'm telling you one thing, but if they don't like hard preaching no more, we want somebody preacher that's dynamic and smooth, and he knows how to have that charisma and get along with everybody. I'm telling you, he's nice, and he knows how to mix and mingle with the girls. Ain't he a dog? I'm telling you, we're living in a sickening time, amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Well, let me move along here, or we won't get done by 10. And so it is, the Bible tells us here, and I'm going to give you just one portion of this message. I could preach honestly a week on this subject, but I'm going to give you this. I want you to know something, friend. There's some powerful incentives of perfecting divine holiness. There's some powerful incentives. Can I tell you one? I want you to know that, my friend, it's the promise of communion. Notice verse 16 that we read tonight. The Bible tells us in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me turn back. He said here in verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I would dwell in them. Communion with God. Communion. The Bible said he will dwell in you if you're saved by the grace of God. I mentioned this last night. What man wants to come home and wait in for a house and have to have a prayer hip roots done to get in? You know how long I stay around if my wife will come home and dishes is there from 2 weeks ago. Bed hadn't been made up. My wife, she makes up the bed every day. And we get right back in it that same night. Tear it up again, amen. But she'll make it. And did you know she washed? Now, listen. If she's gone, I'm not washing the dishes. I'll eat on this side. I'll rinse it off, and I'll eat. And I'll rinse it off, and I'll eat. And I'll rinse it off. And then when it gets real warm and tough, I put it on the other side. And start working out. Somebody said, you're low down. I know it. You're not kidding. My wife's already told me. You don't have to tell me again. Huh? Absolutely. But I'm simply saying tonight that the Bible talks about here that he'll dwell in you, communion. Let me ask you something. I mentioned this last week. We do understand that Christ lives in us, right?
That's right.
I quoted that scripture out of Galatians 2 and 20. Why I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I want to ask you, what kind of house are you providing for the Lord to live in?
Come on.
Yeah. What kind of house are you providing for the Lord to live in? Is the Lord happy coming into his house that you're providing for him? Now come on, don't drive on me now. Hey, I'm telling you, the Bible tells us that we're the temple of God. We are a dwelling place where our house, our body is a place where the presence of God dwells. I would ask you, is your house a pleasing place for the Lord? The Lord wants to live in there. He can't hardly get in a word of his wife before he got that television on. Somebody said, you don't preach about going naked, do you? I sure do. Amen. If Jesus spoke about it with the man at the Gadara, I believe you ought to say. And the scripture said when the old man had got right, he was clothed in his right mind.
That's
all that I had naked up here in New York. You must have lost your mind.
That's what I was running
on. How am I doing, April? Doing good, ain't it? Say that after so often. Some of these churches won't keep saying that. They need pictures. Say that. Somebody said, preacher, just want to ask you a question off the record. Do you preach against smoking? Well, since you asked, let me tell you, I do. I sure do. But let me tell you something else. We got some of these preachers that get in the pulpit, and they'll just wear them little flying tire wheels out down there for raising that tobacco over there in Tennessee, bottom of your country. You with me, Timothy? But they don't ever say anything about them. Folks down there can see that their blood runs orange. You ever heard that statement? Did you know I went to school at the University of Tennessee? Did you know I hold credentials of being an engineer? That's smart, you know. But let me tell you something, my blood don't run orange. Now, how much you weigh? I got you outnumbered, buddy. Oh, yeah. I mean, this is like a semi getting a horse wagon. Let me tell you something. If you got there against that wall, and I got over here at this wall, and we run and get down here down, you believe that'd be good for our bodies? Have you heard about all these brain concussions now? We've had several 11 and 12-year-old children that died as a result of brain injuries. And it's now come back. But you don't ever hear none of these preachers say nothing about that. Oh, no, it's just nasty old Marlboros and them Lisas. And then don't forget them Virginia Slims. We've come a long way, baby. Hey, what about all the ball games? Did you know ball is a god in this nation?
Yeah.
Folks are ball crazy. You roll a ball from here into here, and there'd be three Baptist churches falling right in.
You're right.
I'm preaching the truth.
That's right.
Man, they ain't preaching the truth. They got no business preaching. You know what I'm
saying? Right.
I'm telling you, they're acting all this nonsense.
something thousand in that stadium that they don't stay. But come Sunday morning, they can't come to the house of God.
Hey.
You know, they can't come to church because their back hurts. And their kidneys are enlarged. Mine would be too if I sit around for 4 and 5 and 6 hours and holler and scream like a Comanche Indian. What's that budget there on my new day? But now these old pews are so hard. And I'm telling you, what, this church is so hot. They've got the door open. And he preaches too long. Anything else I've left out of April, you can help me with. I thought something else. I'm telling you, it's unreal. It's a, you're holding past noon on Sunday, and they'll think, hey, you think you made a cardinal sin. How pitiful it is today now. But that's detrimental to the temple of God. You're not to abuse your back. When you were a sinner and you were out in the world, you would get your back against your son. Look at them tattoos on your neck back. Look at that on your hand there. You abuse it. God deals in the scriptures there not to put no markings in our flesh. Now, there's nothing the man can do about it, but he sure ain't going to go down here to the tattoo parlor tonight and get another thing. A Harley Davidson printed on the back. And we got these girls now getting these tattoos in places that you ought to be looking at, but they're showing off. I've seen one down there the other day, down towards, I believe it's Atlanta, Georgia, and it's blue jeans with two holes on this right here. Looks like it's sewed around. It's a hole. And it's so they can put a tattoo in there right there. So it looks like a tattoo in the picture frame. Looks like a lustful situation to me. And Lord only knows what they're going to do next. And then if that were not enough, they're punching holes where they ain't got no business punching holes. I got 7 holes in my head. 7 is the number of perfection. And I'm not about to get my ears spaced. They're already far enough apart. How am I doing, JP? Hey, Brittany, am I telling you right?
Yeah.
I've got a picture over on that iPad thing of a young man that he's got holes here with him spaces. He's got holes there. If he blows his nose, I don't know which way the snot's going to go. Somebody said that's a little out of color, but I want you to understand it. I'm telling you, how sad it is today. So it is, the Bible tells us here that we're to be a separated people. And so it is the powerful incentives of perfecting divine holiness, promise of communion. I tell you who I want to have fellowship with in this world, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want him to live in my life.
Yes.
I want him to take control. I don't want him in the back room. I want him in the whole house.
Amen.
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 I want him to dictate to me. I want to please him with every possibility I can.
Amen.
Somebody said, you don't act like sometimes you're exactly right. Get up here and preach. I'll say amen to it. Sometimes I don't do that.
That's right, brother.
But I'm going to tell you one thing. When I don't do it, I'm sorrowful for it. And it breaks my heart that I have brought shame and I've brought sorrow and disgrace to my Savior.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
My daddy, when we as boys do things wrong, give voice and set us down and say, don't you realize that what you've done is a reflection on our family and our name? Remember me preaching that message here one time on what's in a name?
Yeah.
Your name means something. You being a Christian means something. You being a member of Black Creek Baptist Church means something.
Yeah.
You being in this church and having a pastor like John Ashworth. You go out here and live like you live, and folks in the world say, my, they go to Black Creek Baptist Church. What kind of preacher is John Ashworth? I'm going to dance a reflection on the call of Christ.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Right.
I don't like it.
Yes.
I don't care who knows.
That's right.
My Savior is everything that I can declare and then some, and he is worthy of your acceptance. I couldn't recommend me so much, but I could sure tell you about one called Jesus.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
The Bible tells us here in this passage of Scripture, as we look at it, it says not only the promise of communion, but it tells us about the principle of the covenant relation. Did you notice here that he said in this passage of Scripture, he said, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God and they shall be my people. And then he goes on to talk about how that we're sons and daughters of his. There's a covenant relation between me and Christ. Thank God tonight I'm a the family of God. I'm one of his boys. What parent wouldn't love his children, care for his children, care for his children right? I want to tell you, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for me, gave his very life that I could have hope and have it more abundantly alive. I want you to know tonight, my friend, that I have a relationship with God. I am the son of God. I'm a child of King.
Amen, sir.
Just like I quoted, now we're the sons of God. Are you a child of the King?
Amen.
Does your life portray that you're of a different family? Huh? Does your life say that you're in this world, but it's not, you're not of it?
That's right, sir.
Oh, yes. And then notice something else. Not only a principal covenant relationship, but parental care in loving his children. The Bible tells us here in this passage of Scripture, he said, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's what God said.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be close. How long have I preached, son? Almost an hour. It's just hard for me to get less than that. I really like to preach 2 hours.
Yeah, amen. Preach.
But the Bible said, the Almighty said this. What who's more truthful tonight? God Almighty that's in the glory, or the crowd that's in the White House? Which would you put your stock in? Which one would you convey to be to tell the truth? I don't believe God can lie.
That's right.
That's right. I mean, he can tell you the truth. I don't think he said, you're my son, my daughter. My daddy died last year. 86 years old. I can stand as a grown man in this church and tell you that I never know what time my daddy ever lied to me.
No.
My daddy was one of the most honest, brutally honest men that you could ever be. He was a very gentle man, but he loved his children. I never know what time my daddy didn't get up. I can remember when he had trouble with his back and my mother tied his shoes so he could go out the door and go to work. I've seen him come home, he worked on, he was a sheet metal worker, Brother Haynes, and they done a lot of flashing in what he did on top of these old buildings. And I've seen him come home with that hot iron with that splash up on his hands and on his body and burn his arms and his back. I never one time ever heard him open his mouth. I remember in the 50s when things got tough, and I can remember my mother fixing the last thing we had in the cabin.
Amen.
And I can say tonight that I never ever went to bed hungry preaching. I had two old grandmothers. My grandmother on my mother's side and my grandmother on my daddy's side. And I can say that I've never seen any one of my grandparents improperly dressed.
Mm.
Even my granddads, I've never seen them without their shirt on. I wear my shirt and you do what you want to do. I could just tell you story after story. There's a little boy we go around on a Saturday morning at my papa's house on my daddy's side. He worked for the railroad. He was a conductor for the Southern Railway, which is now North Arkansas. My grandmother always kept on the cabinet or on the stove some of them old homemade cathead biscuits. Are you and my sister? You know what a cathead biscuit is, don't you? Homemade biscuits. Don't tell me you use them out of the can. You do, we're going to pray for you right now. In the field at daybreak to chop corn, hold corn out. My grandmother reached under up there, put one of them old biscuits wrapped up in a piece of wax tape. You might have drank what wax tape would have had. Long time 9:30, when I got hungry, I'd get the old corn biscuit put it up, Charlotte. I'd take my pills. And she had that, what did she have in her spine, Charlotte? What was it? Osteoporosis. Before she died, she walked just almost over the fence. They put her in the casket, they had to break her back. Mm. I walked out of that casket. I thought that all the time she'd been done with old biscuit. Never heard my grandmother use foul language. Never did hear them let on, never complain. And sometimes I look at them and try to get them hard. But they never complained. My mother, she's 86 years old, 87 tonight. I remember my mother fixing and preparing for us boys. We didn't have much. I was born in a little four-room house. Didn't have no water. had very little electricity. Had one receptacle in the old house. My mother, of course, my dad's deceased, still owns that house I was born in. I was born there in 1948. Next, right across the railroad. We didn't have much. Sometimes I was hard. But my daddy took me to church. And he saw that as an house of God. And one day the Holy Spirit dealt with my heart and I got saved. And I want to tell you something, it's made a difference in my life.
Yes, sir. You got that right.
I don't know nothing about drugs. I don't know about alcohol. I don't know about tattoos. Or all that one thing. I credit all that I don't know about to the fact that I got saved as a child.
Amen.
It wouldn't change a thing.
That's right.
Been married. I have no exes in Texas. I got one, and she's not even in Tennessee. She's with me in New York. I tell you, when you live a clean life and God blesses your life, it makes getting old so much more enjoyable.
Oh, yeah.
It makes it so much more pleasurable. All my children, homes, their companions. I can only say tonight, Brother Haynes, that God has been nothing but good to me.
Amen.
Nothing but good to me.
Amen.
In a little country church, I've been a janitor. I've been a church superintendent, a Sunday school superintendent. I've been a church clerk. I've been a church treasurer. I've held out every office. I've been every office in the whole church. And then was ordained a deacon. And then, said, I want you to preach. Well, I'd done pretty good. And I was happy with being a deacon. So I sat down one day and explained to the Lord where he had messed up at. Tried to set the thing. And I thought when I got done talking with him, April, I had it all straight down and he was right on board with me. It didn't take that many years, mistreating her. But he kept coming around every so often. And he'd say, Willis, do you love me? You know I love you. He said, won't you preach a hook? No one of my family preachers. I had a good job, I'm making good money. I said, but Lord, you don't understand. And I'd go over it with him again. I thought maybe I needed to live a little more in depth in explaining it to him. He just got to walk off. That'd be it. After a little while, he'd come back around again. Do you love me? Boy, I'm kind of mad. What do you use your word, dude? Do you love me? And before you go, I knew what was next. I even got kind of irritable. He wouldn't think I could be irritable. Listen, I need to get a bit of a thing. My wife thinks I'm just a big chunk of sugar. But he come to me one day. I couldn't tell him no more. And I said, yes, Lord, I'll preach. Less than 6 weeks after I asked my phone to preach, I started pastoring. I pastored for 27 years. I don't regret a mile out of traveling for the Lord. I don't regret a mile. I'm sure that old fellow brother that I need to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm closing. And tonight, I have a great reward of blessings. I'm a blessed man. Everything in my life's been good. That I've been blessed. Jody, I remember when he got saved. Chris, some of this crowd over here. April, I remember when you come forth. Did you get saved? No. Well, let me tell you what the Bible said in John 5:39. Search the scriptures.
That's right.
When they testify of him, what about you? Search the scriptures. Understand whether or not you're saved. You're the Christ. I'll tell you something, April. If I didn't know it, I'd get it known.
Yeah,
I'd say there's nothing worth going to hell over, girl.
That's right.
I've thought about you many times. How many times, Charlotte, have I mentioned this girl's name? Many times. We keep on this.
That's right. Amen.
I hope that if you are saved and you're not doing right, I hope the Lord whips the fire out of you. I hope he takes you out of my way. You are saved. Kill you. But if you're not saved, that will be on your own. This preacher loves you. I've tried to exhibit that to you, but I love you. Don't you
you know, Brother Tree. I've tried to be as honest as you can to produce an obedient with me that tonight. Doing that just by the power of God. For me, worship of the girls. Lord, just try to. I would be a sorry preacher if I didn't love the souls of men.
Right.
What business would I have being in the pulpit?
That's right.
You know how I know my daddy loved me for the hands? He never lied to me.
That's right.
He always told me the truth. A lot of times I didn't like it for the hands, but I couldn't. When I walked away and he had whooped me and he had lectured me and done what he had done, you know what I had to acknowledge? My daddy told me right. My daddy told me right. Let me tell you something. You argue all day long you want to. You bitch a bit and you fuss and you cuss and do whatever you want to. But you cannot argue to the truth. That Bible said the truth will stand when the world is on fire.
That's right.
You can't argue with it. You can't get around it. You can't get over it. You can't get under it. It's there and you must address it. You know what we need to do? Just come clean with God and say, Lord.
Yeah.
I'm everything you said I am.
Right.
You know what I agreed with God, preacher? Just as a child, had enough of it. But you know what I agreed with God about? That I was a sinner.
Yes.
I agreed with him. He was right.
That's right.
Amen. But now, they need me that people want to agree with anybody else about how sorry they are.
That's right.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Just be honest about it.
Yes, sir.
Just old rotten, stinking, academic flesh. He don't want to be honest. He don't want to tell. Especially about, oh, listen, hey, it ain't no problem me standing up here tonight and looking at you birds and tell you what's wrong with you. I can pick out a thousand things wrong with you. Oh, you start looking in that mirror. And you start dealing with that fella that's in the looking glass.
Yes, sir.
It's a hard swallow to swallow. Fact is, it's the truth.
That's right.
It's the truth. I told you the truth.
Yes, sir.
Practicing holiness. How much do you want to please the Lord? Scripture talks in the Bible about a woman wanting to please her husband. It gives a in-depth matter how she being the woman wants to please her husband. We're the church. We're the espoused bride of Christ.
That's right.
Who's our daughter? Who's the one we should want to please? I want to tell you something. You may not altogether please him, but if you're his, you want to please him. And you'll make some endeavors in your life.
Yes.
The Bible said here, and I'm closing. The scripture said here, it said, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. It also tells us here in this passage of scripture that we're to cleanse. We're to clean and cleanse ourselves. The Bible said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. God ain't going to come in and slap you around, but he's going to bring it to your attention by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's going to show you what you're doing wrong. You need to ante up and shore up and do what's right. He said, cleanse yourself. Well, I believe God wants me to quit it. He'll take your Marlboros out of my hands, stomp my fingers, and throw them in the middle of the highway out there. It'll never happen, brother.
That's right.
It won't happen. I've had things in my life God brought to my attention. You know what? He brought it to my attention, and he just left it to see what I do with it.
Amen.
Old David wanted to be so close to God and live so pleasing to the Lord. After he got caught up in sin, he said, search me, O Lord. Search me.
Yes.
See, it's one thing to get the preacher to preach at you, but when you get God in your house and he's living on the inside, and you say, Lord, I want you to walk down the avenue. Just pointing out what it is you want to do now. That's another something.
Yes.
But you know, he'll not only point it out, Brother Dale, but he'll give you sufficient grace.
Yes, sir.
You get a hold of it and throw it out.
Amen.
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 His grace is sufficient. Without invitation, I wonder tonight who's going to do business with God. Some came to the altar last night. Some did business. I don't know.
Sister Patricia, you come on. Brother Roger, if you've got an invitation number, that'll be fine too. We're going to stand at this time. And I want to ask you tonight, how sincere are you? How willing are you tonight to provide a place for God to grace?
That'll be...
Huh?